You may be seated. You may be seated.
Here we go. Are you ready? Today is an impartation. This is not a teaching. It's an impartation. Everybody say, I receive.
I receive.
You know what? How I do it. Raise your hand and go,
it's mine.
It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. So where we're going to start this morning is we're going to talk about the mentality of what's next. God told me to tell you it's a mentality. It's how you think. In this year 2017, in the year of expansion at Harvest, you can only move at God's momentum, which I call God's speed, when you understand that regardless of what happens, you have to say what's next. There should be so many what's next in this place. After Sharon Stone was here last week and Wayne Goss was here, I know the prophetic move. So the minute the prophetic moves, what do you say?
What's next?
Because I'm sitting in a men's conference. Pastor Paul comes in Miami and he's our speaker and he's speaking to the men and he says, you are the father of reinvention. And when he did, you don't just hear a prophetic word. You hear it and then you say, it changes everything. When God speaks Genesis 1, everything changes. Nothing changes. You're created in his likeness and in his image. So when you speak, things are created. It changes the whole dynamic. It changes the whole landscape. And you have to say,
what's next?
And so I said, God, what's next? What's next? What's next? He said, you're the father of reinvention. I started speaking on fathers of reinvention all over the earth. I'm just telling you, there is not a nation in the other hemisphere that I probably haven't spoke on fathers of reinvention. And then I said, what's next? He said, write a book on fathers of reinvention. I said, what's next? He says, take your best friend that has helped build Benny Hinn's ministry, Creflo Dollar's ministry, Rod Parsley's ministry, and was the last 3 months working for Donald Trump. And he says he's always wanted to write a book. His father always wanted to write a book. He was the president of the university in America, but he never got to what's next. You need to wake up your dreams. You cannot see your destiny lived out until you get to a mentality of, so what's next? A righteous person's steps are ordered of the Lord. In him we live and move. What's next? Come on, everybody.
What's next?
And so, here it is. Last month, it came out. Selling it out all over the world, fathers of reinvention. Why? God spoke. What's next? Speak it all over the earth. What's next? Write the book. What's next? That's what I'm asking God today.
Amen.
Turn to somebody and say, I must answer this question every day. What's next? In Proverbs 6, 20 through 23. It says, follow your father's good advice. Don't wander off from your mother's teaching. For when you wake up, they will tell you what's next. Parents, everybody say this.
I must tell my children.
I must. Children don't need to be wandering around. When they ask me today, would you stay and speak to the youth? I had the greatest youth movement in the world in Atlanta. 25,000 kids came to know Jesus in a local church. I was sitting, now I'm going to have spoke two times. I'm 64. And you know, when I speak, I give it up. There's none of this just sitting, leaning over on the pulpit. We go to war. And Apostle Paul said to me, so will you do that? And God said, that's next. You don't go back home without talking to those youth and telling them and challenging them on what's. When I was in the eighth grade, I moved to the inner city of Atlanta, Georgia. And I went from an all-white school to a 90% African-American school. And that's how I became a world-class track star. I did. I was one of the fastest men in the world. How? Trying to keep my lunch money every day. The brothers were after me, but they could never catch me. Never. Never. White men can run. I had a huge church, mostly black in Miami. At 40, I could still outrun every black guy in the church. The bottom line is, God, you've got me here. What's next? I became the president of the student body of an all-black high school. No, no. That's when you don't say, I'm prejudiced against the man. Who is the man? I don't know who the man is. I'll tell you who the man is. Jesus is the man. And wherever you go. And so I went from the ghetto high school to one of the top engineering colleges in the world. Not because I was smart. I went there because I was fast. And I got to go to school for free because I was fast. And I went there, and it was a top engineering school. Jesus was nothing on that campus. 40 guys on the track team. What's next? What's next? What's next? What's next? By the time I was a senior, I was unanimously elected captain of the team, and 39 of the 40 guys came to my Bible study. What's next? Don't let the enemy tell you you have arrived. Don't tell the enemy that you are stuck. You are at a place of what's next? When a problem comes up, it's only an opportunity for God to show himself strong in your life. What's next? I went into business, formed my own company. I did very, very well. I went to work in corporate America. I did very, very well. What's next? My brother was on drugs. I only have one sibling, 5.5 years younger. I bought him a home next door to me. I did everything that I could possibly do to save him. He went to this little church of 100 people. And my uncle prayed for him, and he got delivered of drugs. And I had made my mind up. I was never going into the ministry. Not ever. I watched what the ministry did to my mother and daddy. They would say, son, forgive, forgive. Just trust God. Vengeance is his. I says, you trust God. I'll take him out behind the church, and we can work this out in a second. Oh, my God. I love being here. I was in St. Albans yesterday, and there were three kind of like gangster guys that were over there. They were all like, 15 to 17, and they were all like, thinking it was cool. They could smoke, and I could tell they had poured something in their Coke can. They were sipping, and they were all full of themselves. And so I looked over at them, and one of them went, hey, you want me? Little did he know, I wouldn't even break a sweat. I would knock him out in a second. But God said, what's that? I looked at him and I went, no. And he says, you want him? The other guy, and I went, nah, no, I don't want him either. But he said, but the third guy, nap. Hey, I pointed over at Apostle Paul, and I just went. And they went. Now listen to me. If you think defensive, you'll never get what's up. What's next? You'll never get what's next. You'll never get what's next. Apostle Max got me into Norway to do a marriage conference and then do a big conference in front of like 150 to 200,000 people a night on television. And so I got there, and when I got there, I got up in this hotel in the mountains of Norway, and the marriage conference got canceled. Have you ever had something happen and it was different than what you thought was going to happen? And now, I could have gotten mad. Traveled all the way to Norway. I'm in this room. It's freezing cold. It's snowing. It's a blizzard. It's whatever. What's next? God says, you haven't skied in a long time. Go out and snow ski a couple of days. I said, well, all right. And I went out and snow skied a couple of days. And then I said, well, what's next after that? And God says, I have put you at a time, place and at a time with nothing to do. And I started 3 new books. Quit complaining about where you are and what has happened to you, and let the Holy Spirit tell you what's next. I had these people calling me from around the world. They're all devastated because they've had a divorce. They've been a divorce. And God said, write a book on AD, life after divorce. Already 30% through with it. Instead of complaining about having nothing to do, I let God reset my agenda. Okay, all right, okay. Then I was talking to this couple that I know God put them together, but they're afraid. They got a commitment issues, Apostle Max knows about it. I talked to him, God, guys, I'm the guy, I'm the guru of marriage. And I'm sitting there talking to them. Can I tell you the power of being able to hear when God is speaking? What are you doing here today? Is this just a good motivational work? Is it just pick? Are you going to have a different mentality? Every morning when you get up, did you know God could adjust your path just a little bit? And it could change everything. How many of you know you don't meet people accidentally? You don't meet people accidentally. My steps are ordered of the Lord. And so when I meet somebody for the first time, it's probably a what's next meeting. Every relationship develops a chemistry. So I started a book called Finding Your Soulmate. I'll get that to you real soon. Or either write it about you. The bottom line is this. Then my wife started the book on fighting for your family. The oldest book in the Bible is Job. The first thing that happened in the Bible, where the oldest book was, the devil couldn't get at Job's family. There was a hedge around it. The greatest way to battle for your family is to have a hedge so high the enemy can't get to it. Okay, here we go. What's next? What's next? What's next? I'm not going to tell you great things happened in Poland. Great things happened in Denmark. Great things happened in Bulgaria. A guy pioneers, he gets to what's next. Went to the army. Then he was an evangelist. Then he pastored. And then God said, I want you to reach your whole nation of Bulgaria. In 10 years, he's built a television network that touches 1.2 billion people in the middle of nowhere. I mean, there's nothing there. It says, and the village is called Turn. Yeah. In English, Turn. Turn. It doesn't matter what's there. It doesn't matter what your resources are. The only thing that matters is that you have an ear to hear from God. What's next? What's next? I want to tell you, it affects godly momentum. All right, Okay. 2 Kings 6, 32. Here is the what's next prophet of the Old Testament. His name is Elisha, and he's just sitting at his house. The elders are sitting with him, and God says, would you like to know what's next? And he goes, yeah. He says, there's an executioner coming to chop your head off. And Elijah says, this guy's coming. When he knocks at the door, don't open. We'll just leave. Because next, what's next mentality doesn't have to win the battle. They've already left when the enemy shows up. The king would always send his troops to try to get to Elisha, and Elisha would already be gone. You're fighting unnecessary battles because you don't hear what's next. Okay. All right. I love it when the king goes, the trouble is directly from God. And what's next? I'm fed up with God. How would you like the world to be frustrated because you so know what's next? Do you know who makes the greatest profits in business? The people who hear first. Steve Jobs. What's the other guy? Bill Gates. They heard what's next. Everybody that followed them, they got scraps. They're billionaires. How would you, God, there's about to be in God's kingdom a bunch of business leaders that know what's next. That you hear what's next before the wave comes. Are you listening to me? Are you listening? My degree's not in Bible. My degree's in business and engineering. I understand. When you hear what's next before anybody else, the person that pioneers always gets twice the reward. Okay, what's next? Three prophetic words to the church. First prophetic word to the church is, as a church or a ministry, you must practice one voice. Now, here's what we know. When God tells a story, when the Word of God portrays a story, and you see the power in the negative, there is also the same power in the positive. Agreement works as powerful in the negative as it does in the positive. If you get two in agreement in negative, you're 10 times as messed up as two could put 1,000 to flight in the positive. Are you with me? So we get to this story of the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11:6, and God took one look and said, these people have one language, and this is the only step. There's no telling what they can do. They will not be able to stop in any way. Can we flip that for harvest? When you speak in one voice, when you speak in one language, when you understand there is one vision here. Now, see, you've seen the peacock, right? Peacock does its tail. It's like this little thing, and then all of a sudden, it opens up, and there's this, all these colors, all these feathers. You are the peacock ministry. And there are so many ministries that are all part of one. So many different personalities. So many personalities. So many different gifts. But we're one voice. We become a great choir of hope. The power of great harmony is when you stay in your lane. A soprano cannot sing tenor. And an alto is not sing soprano. You have to stay in your lane. But when you're singing, watch this. If I had time, I would do it. When you're singing the same song, great voices, three great voices singing three different songs is confusion. Three sopranos are not harmonic. Your differences are made to complete you and to make beautiful music together. Understanding we're singing our lane, our part, we're singing the same song, and we're singing at the same tempo. Who controls the tempo? One person. Look at an orchestra. It can be a 100-piece orchestra, but there's one conductor. One voice. One voice. I'm not going to tell you about Gladiator as one, but we must operate as one. As Harvest, we are a team. As I travel around the world, no one cares about American football. No one cares about American basketball. Nobody cares about American, there is real football. We call it soccer, but it's real football. It's not the Super Bowl, it's the World Cup. And I realized that now I've become this sort of pseudo expert. I was watching the Euro Championship, right, Benji? And I watched Portugal beat France. France was much more talented. They got the best player in the world and the most highly paid player in the world. And Portugal plays this like defense, ugly soccer. Ugly soccer. Just wait, 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 wait. And then Cristiano Ronaldo gets knocked out of the game. Their one superstar out. But the best team won. Not the greatest athletes. The greatest team won. And then there's a little team called Barcelona. Anybody know about this team? Barcelona. All of a sudden, they pick up three superstars. But this is not Messi's team, and it's not Neymar's team, and it's not Suarez's team. It's Barcelona's team. And all of them had to back their game down to play together. Harvest. The question is, can you play together? See, there are some players that make everybody else look good. My job when I came up here on the stage to play today was not to play over the top of Roro, but was to let her play and then to compliment, to find my place and compliment, to make the sound better. It's not my trumpet solo and they're backing me up. They were in one place, they were in one mind, and they were in one accord when the Holy Spirit came. In Acts 2, an accord is an agreement between parties which eliminates conflict. Two nations come into an accord, and therefore, whatever the conflict was, it's over. My question is, do you know the harvest accord? It starts with marriage. Do you know the marriage accord? For better or for worse, rich or poor, sickness and health, the love and the cherish, till death do you part. Look at that. What does that mean? That's so ambiguous. That doesn't mean anything. If you ever let me teach you about marriage, Pastor Paul, if you ever let me teach this church about marriage, let me just bring down some accountability here. Let me teach you about marriage. I've done 2,000 marriages. Everybody who's gone through my premarital, zero divorce. Because there's an accord. There's an accord as a marriage you can come to where you eliminate warfare, 95% of it. Because you've already decided what you're going to do given any. There's only like about 6 or 8 different problems a marriage can have. All you need to do is develop your accords and defeat the enemy before he gets a chance. And then if there is an attack, what's next? Make a new covenant and never revisit that. If you're battling over the same thing you've always battled over, let me give you a prophetic word. You're stupid. My wife's not in here. I can say whatever I want to say. Number 2, the year to release ministry. Whatever facilities you have, whatever you have. There's a great love in this ministry about not overburdening people. But I'm telling you, there's so much ministry in this house that something could be happening here for different people groups every night. And it would so evangelize and it would so impact the size and the influence of this house. Okay. It's already begun. There has only can be one DNA in this house. And I will tell you by the Spirit that servanthood breaks the barriers down that have been against you all your life. Can I tell you the first thing I do when I go into a new church and they're looking at me, what's this cat from America bringing? Who does he think he is? I just start serving them. And I just start serving them more. And I just break them down. Because you know what? You think you know what it is, but wherever I go, they only remember two things. Two things. Not the miracles. Not the illustrated sermons. Not my humor. This is incredible. Two things they remember. Number one, did you bring your trumpet? Now, what if I'd said, that was for when I was a child? I don't need to play a trumpet. You want me to play a trumpet? Listen to the word. How powerful. No, no. Did you bring your trumpet? That's all we want to know. Because when my trumpet sounds, deliverance comes throughout the house. The trumpet sounds, evil spirits are broken. The second thing they always remember is the way I love them and the way I hug them. They said, when you hug us, we feel like God hugs us. That's it. That's why they have me back. Hugs and horn. No, no. I'm being truthful. I walk into the frigid Norway. Max is there. And I would come like, say, hey, what's up? And these Norwegian men were going, what the? No, 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 what's up? No, no, no. We don't touch. No touch. No hug. I'll give you a hand, maybe a hand. No hug, no hug. And I would go, okay, okay. I would go, I'd go, okay. And they put their hand out. I go, then I kiss them, and they just go shocked. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to do. My fourth trip back to Norway now, the men are waiting for me to come into place. They're looking like this, going, know what you're called to do. What's next? What has God given you that makes you unique? Amen. Oh my God. What has God given you that makes you unique? I can preach on anything. I can. But whenever I preach on marriage and family, I don't care who you are. T.D. Jakes, sit down, take notes. Kenneth Copeland, take notes. It doesn't matter. That's my lane. And for 109 years, my dad and I have done it. What's next? Find your lane. Find your life message. What is your life message? Then you develop that. And if anybody wants that, they got to come to you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Number three, now this is new stuff. This is the day of alliances. Exodus 9, 6 and 7, the Bible says, and the next day God did it. Now, please, 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 right now, no offense in the congregation, no offense. I want to tell you what we're living in. Where's my trumpet players, my horn blowers? Here's one. There's three, right? One, two, three. One, two. I know you got one. I see it. Keep going back. Now watch this. The three of you stand up. Blow it. Loud as you can. Blow it. Blow it. Joel 2. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm on the holy mountain. It says, and the people will tremble. Now sit down, but keep your horns close. Can I tell you that in 24 hours, America changed? Forget about politics now. Of the 10 largest media companies in the world, 7 of them are in America. 1 in the UK, 1 in Germany, and 1 in China. 7 of them. Number one is Alphabet, who owns Google, who owns CNN. They're at $168 billion. Every one of the media experts said Hillary Clinton was going to win being our president. We would continue down a road where America is at the place for the first time ever. We need missionaries to come to us. We've been the country that has sent the most missionaries by far out around the world. But I'm going to tell you something. America has become godless in its direction. Become godless in its direction. Every CNN, ABC, Fox News, CBS, every with their billions of dollars, everyone said Hillary Clinton would win and Donald Trump was a joke. And can I just tell you something? I have friends that work in his staff. And I want to tell you, have the Holy Ghost anointing enough that you don't believe what the media tells you. You believe what the Holy Spirit tells you. You believe what the Holy Spirit tells you. Let me tell you something. In 24 hours, our nation's economy changed. The Dow Jones, the stock market, went 200 points higher than it's ever gone in our history. Because when the trumpet sounds, fellas, when the trumpet sounds, when the trumpet sounds, you must ask what's next. In the first month, 300,000 new jobs. How many of you would like to see the economy of England explode? How would you like to just go, there's jobs everywhere? I can tell you that's happened, and it happened in 24 hours. I'm just telling you something. What's next mentality? I don't care where you are. Things can change in 24 hours. In 24 hours! How do you know? You meet somebody and something happens. I was telling Pastor today, I went to Tommy Tenney's church, less than 100. Then I went to his church and ministered at a big church. He was an associate pastor and he was speaking in a pulpit. And God gave him a message on God chasers. And the Holy Spirit fell and the pulpit split in half. And in 24 hours, he became a factor around the world. In 24 hours. I'm here to tell you, I'm on assignment here to tell you. This is a what next church, and you're a what next people. You are a what next. It's a day of alliances. God told me, he says, don't try. There's two nations that I have two churches. He said, find one church in every nation and the rest of your life, pour your life into them. That's what's next. And then God says, don't you dare call anybody and ask to come. You just respond to the doors I open. The only reason I'm here this morning is before Paul Naughton walked out of my house, he said to me, listen to me, Bishop. This is what I want you to do. Whenever you come to Europe, England is your base. My church in England is your base. And when he said that, I knew what was next. That every time I come here, it doesn't mean you have to have me. It means I will say, I'm available. You started it. You started it. You cannot. Are you pleased? Are you listening? Listen. If you're not ready to answer the question, God will never pose you the question. Solomon is sitting in his house, minding his own business. He's a young man. He's overwhelmed because now he doesn't know how in the world to handle all these responsibilities of being the king of Israel. He doesn't understand. And God shows up and says, ask whatever you want. He already knew the answer before God asked the question. Here's the answer. You need to practice right now. Watch this mouth. Do your mouth like this. Yes. Here, let's practice. Yes. Everybody?
Yes.
Here we go. God says, this is what's next. And you say?
Yes.
And he says, this is what's next. And you say?
Yes.
And it doesn't matter how successful the last step was. I don't care how great. What does, y'all make BMW, you know, Germany makes BMW. What car do y'all make? Range Rovers. Regardless of how awesome the Range Rover is, for 2017, it could be their greatest selling year. What are they going to do in 2018? Make a new one. Make a better one. Because, see, the world understands what's next. I looked at Pastor's tennis shoes yesterday, and I said, Pastor, where did you get those tennis shoes? Are those the latest Kobe Bryant tennis shoes? He says, yes. It was what was next. We all had the Apple 6. And then they said, the Apple 7 is coming. You don't even know why. You're attracted to the mall. You're pulled to the Apple store. And you're standing in a line that's for eternity. Why? Because there's a hunger in you for what's next. That's the truth in God. Worship was great today. The way you gave last week was great, but come on. You had a revelation. You've had a dream. You've had success in ministry, but
what's next?
What's next? Forget it. God, touch my eyes so I can see this. I tell you, in 2017, guard your marriage, guard your family, guard your alliance, and guard your godly alliances. Please write this down, because when you start moving at what next speed, you have to protect what's most precious. Did you hear what I just said? Don't put your marriages or your families on the altar of your success. Number four, you must begin to think nationally. You must, as a church, begin to think, how is this going to influence our Judea, London, our Samaria, England, and the uttermost parts? Numbers 17:4 says, this is what will happen next. They got a staff, remember? A staff from all of it. They wrote the names of every tribe on each one. And the staff of the man I choose, that staff will sprout. Now hear this. Lift your hand up right now. Lift your hand up like this and say, God, whatever I see, your blessing, I'll know that's my direction. See, I have to realize what God's blessing. Whatever the staff, whichever staff is budding, that's where we're going to go. If there's a tremendous revival among children, we're going to put everything in children. We're just going to go crazy about children. We're going to build one of them things like they have at the mall we went to that's like four stories high that we put out in the church somewhere where the kids can play in and go all through like this, and their parents, they start crying every Sunday morning, I want to go to church, because they want to come play in the thing. You understand? If God's doing something with our youth, what are we going to do? Put everything we've got in that. Whatever God chooses, we know that's what's next. What's next? What's next? What's next? It's so interesting to me. There were three trumpets here. I could tell you incredibly in Exodus 19, study it all. In verses 13, 16, and 19 of Exodus 19, there are three resounding different sounds of the shofar. And with every sound of the shofar comes a what's next. Guys, stand up. Stand up, guys. Now listen, close your eyes. Because every day I want you to get used to this. That you close your eyes. That you're just doing your business. You're going along. And all of a sudden you hear. Then you know. You know what's next. There's something what's next. There's something what's next. Can you hear the sound of heaven? I said, can you hear? Reach up and touch yours and say, God, let me hear the sound of heaven. And then there's a second trumpet, a second horn that blows. And when it sounds, it says that the shofar sound became louder and louder and louder. But let me tell you something clearly. I believe we're in the third day, and it says that last one was a blast. And when this blast happens in America, everybody's excited right now. Half of them are excited because they realize we're going in a great direction. Half of them are excited because they think the world is falling in. Can I tell you, God is doing something. And what you have to do in that last day, guys, I need a sound, the loudest sound you could come up with. And when they give this sound, I want you to scream to the top of your lungs, what's next? When they hear this blast, I want you to say at least five times, what's next? What's next? One, two, three. What's next? What's next? I went to Poland to what Max says is the greatest church in Poland. And the guy looked at me and he says, the families of Poland are in wreck and shambles. Did you know that less people are getting married around the world than ever before? You know why? Because nobody is standing up showing this world what a great marriage looks like. Why do you think I hold my wife before I start to speak? Why do you think I don't peck her? I kiss her like a woman needs to be kissed. Well, I got some women that knows what I'm talking about right now. Don't be giving me some peck action. Get them up here. I missed my kiss. Hallelujah. When we go home, I tell you what's next. Okay, bye. Hey, it wouldn't be Bishop at Harvest if that didn't happen. Number five, let me do this real quick. God is going to raise up some what's next businesses. I'm telling you prophetically. I'm telling frankly, for the vision to be fulfilled in this house, there's going to be some businesses that are so... See, some people are already getting this, that are so extraordinarily successful. And watch this, not just with one business, you'll learn what's next strategy in this, and you'll apply it to many businesses. The man who helped me, listen, the man who helped me start in Miami had six or eight businesses in Michigan and six or eight businesses in Miami. And he said, Bishop, I just want you to know, I want to give you the building that you're going to start in, $100,000 free rent the first year. And I said to him, Jerry, tell me the secret of your success. He said, I get up in the morning and I pray. I read my word. Then I exercise. Then I go to my office and I'm done with all my business day by noon. And he had 20 businesses. I said, how is that possible? And he said, because I know how to run my business. My business doesn't run me. He said, I know how to have a system of reporting where all the businesses report in what my vision is, the one voice, the one DNA. And by noon, I'm through. My yoke is, and my burdens are. Now, who lives like that, really? I know, that is a serious question. Who really lives like that? My burdens are easy because my Jesus was asleep in an open fishing boat in a storm where the waves are filling up a boat. He's so at peace, he doesn't wake up and seasoned fishermen are panicking and wake him up and shake him. And don't you care that we're going to drown? And Jesus says, I know what's next. When? Shh. Shh. Waves. You don't panic when you know what's next. Because he's the God that's already walked ahead of you. He's already seen everything that you've ever been through. He's already walked into your future, to the end of your future. He knows the end of your future. He's already set that up and he's already come back to you and goes, just follow me. Just do the what's next. Let me just say something. Right now, right just now, right now. If you believe that God's called you to be a next level business person, stand. Just stand. Now, see, this is what I knew. God have mercy. This is what I knew. Pastor, look. Just turn around and look. You have a church of next level. What's next, business people? Lift your hands in the air and let me pronounce it. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name, in the name that the man who wrote most of the New Testament was the next level, what's next, Apostle Paul, who had a corporation who financed his ministry. I thank you, God, that in this house, it's what's next. It's what's next. People, that's what's next, that they're listening. There are people that they have their mind in an arena where the creativity and the power of God is so real and so powerful and so tangible, they will take those principles and put them into practice. In Jesus' name. Now say it's mine. Just say it's mine. It's mine. It's mine. Okay, let me just give you the end. What's next? You can be seated. It's Joshua and Caleb. 10 spies are the majority of Christians that don't know what's next. Joshua and Caleb says, we're well able right now to go over and to possess what's next. Now, they had to wander for 40 more years because the people couldn't get what's next. They were to the river. They were up to the edge of what's next. And fear, the Bible says, and they saw themselves as grasshoppers. I need you to do this right now. Just do this right here and say, in the name of Jesus, change the way I think. In the name of Jesus, change the way I think. Let me tell you what giants are. Bigger targets, easier to hit. David, how could David miss? Goliath's head was like this big. Giants are there on purpose for God to show how powerful he is to everybody that's around. What's next? What did David say? This is David. David, okay, so what's the guy going to get that kills the giant? He was already to what's next. Well, he's going to get my daughter. He never has to pay taxes. He's going to get a load of money, get to live in my house in the palace. That's for the people that are not looking at the giant and they're looking at the what's next. Can you just say out loud, I'm not worried about the giants? All I'm concerned about is what's next. See, that's why women get strung along forever in a relationship and never get married, because they're afraid to look at a man and say, okay, what's next? I look at women in my church for years. I'd say, how long have y'all been dating? Oh, we've been dating 6 years. I said, this ain't going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. He's afraid to answer the question. You're afraid to ask the question. There we go. Some of y'all look so shocked right now. It's okay to find out what time it is. Okay, I know I've got to stop. I have to be under obedience. What's next? Close your eyes, what's next? Close your eyes, what's next? Father, corporately and individually in this house, we ask the question, what's next? God, every day we get up, we realize that he would rather us be obedient than to sacrifice. So every day we're going to get up and we're going to ask, first thing, God, what's next? What's next? Whenever there is something that taxes us, something that comes against us, we're just going to ask God, okay, that's okay. I see the problem, but what's next? What's the strategy? What is the strategy? How many of you right now, you're involved in something that is overwhelming? It's a battle. It's a war. Stand up. You're in a battle. You're in a war. You're in a battle. You're in a war. I love your honesty. This is what you have to do. Now, let me ask you a question. Is God up in heaven doing this? Jesus, what do we do? What are we going to do? Look at the problems here. What do you think God is doing that? Can I show you God's position? Are you ready? Son, Holy Ghost, they just need to get ready for what's next, because I'm not worried. I already got the answer figured out for this. The answer is already yours. And let me tell you this. Jeremiah 1:5-6, the answer is already in you. It's not going to come down on you. It's going to awaken from inside of you. I'm going to wake up right now the miracle inside of you. The answer is already. Come on, somebody say it. The answer is already inside of me. The answer's inside of me. God put it because he didn't want me to be confused and overwhelmed. I'm his child. Again, the answer is already inside of me. The answer is already inside of me. Now, I'm going to lift my hands and I'm going to begin to worship. And God, I believe that by your power and I believe that by your authority, you can give me what's next. Come on, I need to see some hands up in the air, and I need you to begin to just worship. I need you just to begin to worship God. I need you to begin to, oh yeah, 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 yeah. Holy Spirit's just kind of like flowing over this house right now. Holy Spirit is just kind of giving a what's next right now. You don't need to know all the answers. You just need to know the next what's next. What's next, God? Just show me clearly what's next. Father, you have the answers. Your ways are above our ways. And so, God, right now, I come into agreement with you for my what's next. Come on. I need to hear you cry out more. Cry out to God. Cry out to God louder. Cry out to him. Tell him how much you love him. Open your mind right now. Open your mind right now. What's next? What's next? What's next? God, just show me. Just tell me. What's next? Come on. Cry out. Cry out to God. What is next? What's next? The answers are coming. The answers are coming. The answers are coming. Listen, 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 listen. The answers are coming. The answers are coming. The answers are coming. What's next? What's next? What?